Hollywood Studios in Johnston proper. You are live from the bath.
Thank you for hanging out with us so far this evening.
Did you say thank you for hanging out with us so far this evening at the very beginning?
Yes, because I feel like if they're this far in...
It's just a wild thing to say in the first 5 seconds of the show.
No, that's usually what I say. It feels wrong to not acknowledge that they've made a sacrifice, just even for the small bit.
Oh, that's fair. Okay. Yeah, I can appreciate that.
Sacrifice, life, mistake, whatever. You know what I mean. Like, either way. We got a big show, fellas. We got as Ed Sullivan would say, a really big show.
Who's that? Never mind.
It's the wrong room for that, Ben.
No, it's okay. It doesn't play. Okay. Anyway, we got a great show going for you tonight. First of all, it's been a while since we had any tunes in here. Mike is I would say almost every week, Mike has claimed that he wants to perform his hit single, Shofar, Show Good.
Yeah.
It's not good.
No.
Look, the chorus is a banger, man. They stand up and they're like, Shofar, Show Good. It sounds like the beginning of Three's Company.
You just you just wrote that right now. That was awful.
Nah, it's long-standing hits.
Okay. Anyway, but we got like legit musicians in here.
Yeah.
And so Jeff Arendale's here.
Yep.
Oh,
nailed it.
Yeah. Jeff Dirk is here.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. Nailed it.
And Angela Triplett is here.
Nailed it.
This is wild.
Hey, I just met these three people just a second ago. This is amazing that they also happen to be on the show.
I know. It's wild how it worked out. So here's what we're going to do. First of all, they're all three going to be, they're on the bill for an upcoming concert. And as I saw it on Instagram. I was scrolling Instagram. Hey, okay, I'm going to tell you an Instagram story later on. But I was scrolling Instagram, and there was like Arendale's face. Whoa. And I said, what the heck? I thought I put on the filters and everything.
Right. Yeah. I've messed with our content preferences long enough to make sure that doesn't happen.
Like, I've curated my experience to not have Arendale just like show up. But I'll be doggone, there he was. And there they all were. And I said, well, whiz bang, we should have him in. So that's what we did. So we're gonna hear some tunes. We're going to hear about the show coming up. We're going to catch up on their lives. And they're going to take part in the general frivolity of the show. So that's going to be exciting. Also, I didn't get to this last week, so I wanted to cover it this week. This in, I want to say it's 2 Samuel. David's about to pass away.
Yeah.
And he goes.
Is this where he uses a young lady for warmth?
No.
That's a weird story.
No. Okay, that is a weird story, but that isn't what this story is.
Okay, got it.
So this was in, it's in 2 Samuel 22, and it's like a song.
It's definitely in there, Ben.
It's in 1 Kings.
You acted like it wasn't in there.
No, it's definitely in there.
That's what I'm saying.
It's just not what we're talking about.
Okay, got it.
Anyway, 2 Samuel 22. David's nearing the end of his life, and he's like, he starts making these wild claims. He's like, I followed the Lord all my days. I did all the things he asked me to. I was faithful to Yahweh. And you're like, no, wait a minute. Isn't this the man that like sent the guy to die in the war so that he could take his woman? And you're like, this doesn't seem like a man. We're like, if I had done these same things, I couldn't claim what he's claiming.
Yeah, right.
And so the question is in what way can you understand this? Because like, this is not the only place he claims this. He claims this probably 10, 15 times. Pick a psalm and then pick 2 Samuel 22. And he's like, definitely followed, like been righteous. I followed him all my days, did all the things I was supposed to do. And you're like, there's no way you did or claiming to have done all the things you were supposed to do.
Right.
And so there is a way to understand it, but I want to kind of talk about that because I think it's a legitimate stumbling point that you feel like you've gotten this kind of glossed over view. How could David possibly see his life that way? And in what ways does God agree with it, where he goes, David is a man after my own heart, and how does that compete with guys like Saul or even Absalom? We start going down the line of David's kids.
Right.
And so, anyway, I think there's a way to think about that, but we'll talk about that a little bit.
Nice. Okay.
Also, we'll have some advice on Dear Life from the Path. Mike, have you previewed any of these things?
Oh, yeah.
They're going to be great.
I think they're stellar. Probably the best we've ever done.
Okay, good. I would imagine nothing less than that. Okay, so let's dig right into this situation. First, Jeff Arendale,
yeah.
Tell me a little bit about this show that's coming up.
Well, this is the first one coming up on May 18th down in St. Charles, Missouri at the Talk Shop Lounge. It's the same basic area.
St. Charles, Iowa.
St. Charles, Iowa, not Missouri. Although you probably have listeners down in the St. Louis area.
We're very big in St. Louis.
Very big in St. Louis.
I was already driving towards Missouri.
Yeah. So 1-4 features three artists. This is the first one. They're hoping to do one a month. I don't know if it'll be that much to start with, but I hope so. Lord willing, will do that, and it'll be Angela Triplett, Dirk, and his group, and then the Jeff Arundel Band will close things out. You know, at the end of the day, there will be a food for purchase. There will be, I think there's going to be some vendors and things of that nature.
Yes, yep. I think there's going to be a few craft vendors selling some Christian merchandise to purchase.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So what we're hoping is that folks after church throw the kiddies or just themselves into the car, drive down to St. Charles. They've got food for purchase.
Yep.
And they've got a really good menu.
Oh, it's awesome. Great food.
Yeah.
Great food.
Yeah. So we want to do that. And it's going to be outside unless weather doesn't permit that. And then if that doesn't happen, they're not calling it off. No, we're going to move it inside.
Right.
So they've got a nice big. You've played there before.
I have, yeah. And it's a wonderful venue. It's where they have the Hinterland Music Festival.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
So that might be the landmark that people might recognize the location from. It's actually just right next door to where the festival is held.
Oh, yeah.
It's the family that owns the ground. They have it's a bar restaurant that she wanted to host a Christian event.
Yeah.
And cool. Jeff and I both saw that post and reached out to her, and so she's gonna give it a shot. And this is the kind of stuff that Jeff and I, and great to have Angela joining us as well for this, that we want to do more events like this, and you got to kind of roll with it and give it a shot and see who we can get to come out. So yeah, looking forward to it.
Yeah, we're hoping that a lot of people will come and send a message to these guys that, hey, this is something that the community, Central Iowa, would support.
Sure.
They're even hoping that at some point, and many years ago, Spirit Midwest, remember Spirit Midwest?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
It was a Christian music festival. They had 1 or 2 years where they were hosted out there, and they're hoping that maybe this might turn into something like that, where there'll be some national acts that'll come along with some local acts.
Nice.
Stuff. So yeah,
that would be super cool. It was. I'll tell you this: like, we got started. Our radio show started right, like, our very first guests were from the upcoming Spirit Midwest Festival. This was before it moved out to St. Charles. So, like, I think we broadcast one. We broadcast from there. Like, we set up a shop. We were, like, doing full day broadcast out at these Spirit Midwest festivals.
Oh, boy.
It was terrible.
Yeah. It wasn't, like, good.
Not that the shows were terrible or that the weather was bad. We were bad.
Yeah, we were rough.
Like, 12, just, you've been here, Arundel. Oh, yeah. Like, think of about 12, 15 hours of us having no particular content to talk about, hoping that someone's going to swing by, and we're just in there talking in the humidity. It was bad. It wasn't good.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't very good.
But Arundel talks to you like an old grandma. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, sweet. Very cute.
You're a sweet boy.
That was so sweet of you to do.
Have a Werther's.
Butterscotch.
What's your name again?
Now, Arundel. No, you, sorry, I didn't, and tell me if this delves too far into your personal life, but you have recently retired.
I have, okay. Recently from day job.
Do they give you a packet of Werther's upon retirement?
No, they give you a box,
and
you just clean out your desk. And,
it was unceremonious.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were saying a box of Werther's. I'm like, wow, they really hooked you up. That's fantastic. No, you meant a box to get your stuff out. Okay,
right.
All right.
Yeah.
That's worth living.
Boy, I don't know, has it been what you imagined it to be?
I think I'm still transitioning a little bit. It doesn't stink.
Yep,
you know, it's okay. There's a lot of fun things that happen. And Linda retired, my wife retired about 6 months earlier. It was hard for her when I was still working. And I'm like, hey, just get up and make bacon and eggs every morning, and we're square.
Yeah.
That is zero times.
Yeah.
And as I would have expected it, I, you know, was kidding, sort of.
Yeah.
But it's helped that that we're both now retired. And so we've got grandkids and bikes and golf and more grandkids, and the great grandkids coming out the ears. So it's awesome.
Well, that's
I recommend
awesome.
It if you can do it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, congratulations. That's like, what a cool transition into life. And then you get like all those things that open up that you got more time at your fingertips to be able to indulge in all the things that you've been blessed with.
Right.
That's pretty cool.
Right. You know, one of the things that has been cool is more time for music, for this stuff.
Yep.
Lining up things and going and doing things. Also doing some recording here locally too. You know, we talked about last time I was here, I was set to go to Nashville, that, and but lately been kind of working a little bit in a local studio called Golden Bear.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. Brian, what's his last name?
Vanderpool.
Yeah, Vanderpool. Love that.
I wish his last name was Golden Bear.
Yeah.
Because that would be cool.
Yeah. I don't want to, like, not know him very well and be disappointed, but I am.
Yeah. Yeah, it's too bad.
You're just upset that the dude's name is not, in fact, Brian Goldenbear?
Yeah, we got off on the wrong foot.
Those are the weirdest people on the planet.
I got to be real honest. I don't even remember what his real last name was.
Vanderpool.
I just remember
it
being
just got said
3 disappointed that it wasn't Goldenbear.
You should message him on social media. You should find him and be like, hey, we're strangers, but I need you to realize that the shame that I feel for you at not being named Brian Goldenbear, it is just insurmountable, man.
Hey, that means it's up for grabs, Mike. You can go as Mike Goldenbear.
Hey, that'll be my stage name. Show far, show good.
The new studio album by Brian Goldenbear. And then Mike walks out.
Hey, I will do way more with that name than he hasn't. You know what I'm saying?
Trademark it.
Yeah. Hey, I also got a shout out to Ali Crummy. She has been producing, engineering, and doing a great job. And
she was on the show once.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then refused further invitation.
You should take wise counsel from her.
That's a valid point. And Brian Goldenbear. That guy is just wise beyond his years.
You know who won't come back either? Brandon Lake.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I referred to him as Brandon Pond on Sunday, and I didn't mean to.
His name should be Brandon Goldenbear.
If you're trying to make it in Nashville, kid, you got to change your name to Goldenbear.
Follow the rules, Lake.
No bodies of water. Colors and mammals only.
Yeah. You remember when he was in, I may have made mention. I said, look, dude, no one's looking for like this Christian combo of NXS and like Air Supply. And he didn't take it very well.
He was really here?
No,
Arendelle. I can't even get my own mom on this show.
You can't be taken in by these two, Golden Bear 1 and 2. This is ridiculous.
Okay, all right. So let's do this. Arendelle, let's. You got a tune on the docket. What are you going to play tonight?
I do. This is a tune actually co-written with a legitimate singer-songwriter that's based in Nashville, Matt Marinchek. It's one that I started, and he helped me a lot to finish it. Written around or based on the Prodigal Son, kind of called Prodigal, parentheses, You Let Me Go, in parentheses.
Mm,
yeah. So just a mystery to it. I don't know if you can... Anyway, am I good to go here?
Yeah, you're good to go.
All right, so this one's called You Let Me Go.
Awesome.
Looking back at the years gone by, I've fallen from so high. Nothing left to lose. I'd made up my mind to turn away. You didn't have much to say. I knew I no longer needed you. You let me go. Sure, it was time, you didn't seem to mind. I knew I had seeds to sow. Ooh, you let me go. For a little while, life was good. Doing everything I could and opened every door. Life came fast, I was left behind. And in the back of my mind, I knew what I had before. But you let me. Already knew what I needed to know, but still you let me go. Ooh, you let me go. I'm cursing me now, looking back at then. Could I start all over again? Would you take me back in?
wretch like me had to go blind to see. I was lost, now you run to me unconditionally. Prodigal son didn't need to run, but you let me go. I know there's always a way back home. Ooh, you let me go.
Well, that's a great song, Arendelle.
Yeah, I know, for once, huh? you get a real professional writer, and oh my goodness,
Actually, I want to come back to that, but I will say Arendelle's been on a tear. You remember the last time he was in here? There was like a series of swampy tunes.
Oh yeah,
they were great.
Yeah,
we got a number of people who are like, hey, that's a. I like the vibe of those tunes. Now, this was different. This was a kind of a different vibe than the exploration of the drop D tuning from the last time you were here. What was it? How did that come about, you working with the songwriter?
Well, he actually works with, the studios and the producers that I work with down there in that part of the country.
Yeah.
And so I was introduced to him by Art Ward and just got to know each other a little bit. I was down there to do some work, and I called him and said, hey, I'm coming down. Would you want to do a co-write? He does that all day, or did that all day every day with some dudes, and so had some free time, and he came up to the hotel room, and with Linda off in the corner reading a book or something, we hashed it out, and it's surprising, maybe not surprising, but how long it's taken for it to come to fruition, because I do have a new EP coming out called Jesus Guy.
Yep.
And that'll have some of that swampy,
some swampy stuff
on, but it'll have this on there as well.
Nice.
Yeah, that's cool.
Mm-hmm. What's
how was it? Was it difficult in some ways listening to someone else? I don't want to say necessarily critiquing, but obviously helping shape stuff that you've written. Like, how was that for you?
Well, it was, I'm not an academic writer.
Yeah.
It's all about feel and heart and emotion and the word. And he was about meter. I mean, it was very disciplined, meter and rhymes and story, that kind of thing. So really helped me.
Has that shaped anything about how you write going forward?
Oh, definitely. And I've been doing some local co-write too with Micah Smith, MT Smith. We're working on a song ourselves, so that helps me as well. It does, yeah, absolutely.
Nice.
And more so about the story and the feel. So.
Yep. Dirk?
So that brings the question up for me, Jeff, you know, because we're becoming friends and, you know, this interests me a lot. So when you sat down in that songwriting session, how much of that song did you bring, like, have prepared before you got there compared to what transitioned from that? I would love to hear you talk about that.
Well, I think I had probably about 2/3 of it, and I just didn't know where to go. And, and you see things online about songwriting. Hey, we've got this book, and you're stuck. Well, we've got 27 ways for you to go. Turn to page 32.
Yeah.
And actually, he just brought that. And so, and he was a man of faith too. So he's familiar with Luke 15, right?
Yeah.
Prodigal son story there. And so he kind of knew the vibe and where I was going. And he was asking like too. Okay, so now is this about you or is this about? And it's like, well, it's kind of both. I mean, that's my testimony as well. So, and a little bit his too.
Nice. Yeah. I love that.
When can we expect this EP, Jeff?
Soon. It's actually been kind of on the back burner a little bit as I'm trying to get everything around and finalized and that sort of stuff. So, man, Art did a great job. The studio, Soul Sound Studios there in Little Music Row, fantastic. The players, fantastic.
Is his name Art Soul Sound?
No. Art Ward. Golden Bear, actually.
No one gets it right, Mike.
What a disgusting display.
It's Art Golden Bear. As a matter of fact, I think it's a whole family of Golden Bear.
There's got to be some nepotism happening here. Like, if I'm being totally honest about it, it feels like Nashville's been taken over by the Golden Bears. This is wild.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's really cool, too. And I'll just get out of the way here, but really cool. Art is a fantastic A&R guy. So I had, you know, I wrote a bunch of songs during downtime, you know, the COVID time. And I had about, I don't know, 10 or 15 or 20 or whatever. He's like, we're listening to him, and he's like, he hears like a measure. Nope. He hears another measure on the next song. Nope, we're not doing that one. We're good. Oh, that was kind of good. All right, what else you got? And so it's really cool. And he picked the ones that I would have picked anyways. So, yeah, it's good.
Right. Fellas, I've never wanted to be involved in songwriting or any kind of musical expression, but that just steeled in my mind how I would never do this. Yeah. I can't imagine just going, hey man, I bared my heart and soul into these songs, and then someone hearing it for 4 seconds and going, nope, we're not doing that one. I'm like, okay.
I thought it was stupid anyway.
That was my childhood. Yeah. It's okay.
It was about me.
It was about my dad. He's like, I don't care. Yep, nope, that one sucks. Oh, that's called My Baby Boy, but it's fine.
How many versions of So Far, So Good do you have?
We got to workshop this name, Golden Bear. Oh, God. All right, well, I didn't have aspirations before, but they're not happening.
Okay,
now,
so. Okay, that's all right. That's all right. I'll listen to your tunes.
No, you don't.
You put them together.
All right.
All right. Hey, if you want to find more about Jeff Arendelle, you can find him on the socials. Just search for Jeff Arendelle Band. Follow him on the old Facebook. He's on the Instagram. Yeah. And you can keep an eye out for upcoming shows like the one that we're talking about here tonight.
Yeah.
And also for this at some point in the future EP. Here's what I'm going to tell you. He didn't say this publicly, but he had told me over in the stairwell when he came in. The delay on the EP has nothing to do with the tunes. He's having a hard time picking out like what he's going to wear for the cover shop.
Oh yeah.
And he's just being a real Miss USA about it.
Hey, you should get Art involved on this as well.
I'd say full Canadian tuxedo.
I think you should get the chest meat out. That's what sells
one
out.
One of us is right, and the other one is named Mike.
Wait, did you know what the art's going to be there, Aaron?
We did a photo shoot. Guy went down to Nashville with me. We did a photo shoot there at a state park, and we were around railroad tracks, you know, kind of typical stuff.
Yeah.
A little bit downtown.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Looking slightly askew.
Yeah.
Like, I know the camera's there. I can't be bothered.
Yeah. Yeah, reason know. Number two, I'll never have a music career, fellas. I can't get involved in these photo shoots.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Dark colors are slimming, and if we turn the lights down, way down low. Yeah, yes.
I don't know how to take that. The first thing he talks about is how to slim down. All right.
Yeah. No, I'm talking about me.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
It's right. A song about my dad.
Mike, you totally missed it. When Arendelle came in, he says hi to Boob, and he goes, hey, you still married?
That was the. What he'll say is the second thing he said. I would say it's the first thing after hello. You still married? Like, yeah, I sure am.
Oh, that's awesome.
This ring isn't for show. Like, this is a real thing.
It was so great.
No, it's real categorical of who I am as a human being. That someone hasn't seen me in a while, they come up to me, still married? Yeah, sure am, and I'm wearing a lot of black colors recently. It's I've been told
and
by
low lighting.
I've been told by wiser retired men that it's slimming. So
I got a photo shoot with Olin Mills tomorrow.
I'm going to be on a railroad track. People might confuse me for the train. It's fine.
I choose you. Oh, boy, Arendelle, you're a sharp sword, boy. My friend.
Oh, geez.
Oh, boy, this is good stuff. Super excited to buy this EP.
Yeah, iron sharpens butter.
Okay, I know this is counter to what I said the last time, but we got to have Arendelle in here more often.
Absolutely agree. Agreed entirely.
Hey, can I also say, jeffarendelle.com and State Fair is on the docket.
Hey, oh, nice.
So, that's awesome.
August 9th.
Do you know which stage you're on?
Bill Riley stage, nice. 4 p.m. on August 9th. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Book
and
it
other
today.
Stuff, too.
Yeah.
So.
I heard the talent's there. The talent's on the Bill Riley.
Yeah, yeah, that's okay. All right, anyway, you're listening to Live from the Path. We're hanging out with Dirk and Jeff and Angela. We're talking about the show. What was the name of the place again? It was a lounge.
Talk Shop Lounge.
The Talk Shop Lounge. Yeah. Here's I went to pull it up because I wanted to double check the poster, and the first advertisement was from a band, I think, called like the Band of Heathens. And I said, now, wait a minute. Arendelle didn't tell me about a name change, but it was a different group of people. So anyway, check this out. There's still, do they have to get tickets ahead of time, or do they just kind of show up?
Just show up.
Okay. All right, awesome. There's going to be sweet goods, stuff to eat. There's going to be awesome tunes.
And crafts.
Christian crafts, like the Trump Bible and stuff, is going to be there. Okay, I don't know about that. I was just a rat.
Old.
Okay, anyway, make sure you go check it out, and I will remind you of the date, time, and location throughout the program so you don't forget to go head on out. All right. I know. Okay, Angela, listen to me. It feels a little bit scary because of what we did to Arendelle, but he brought most of that on himself. Tell me a little bit about how did you get involved in this show? Not our show, but the show at the lounge.
I was kind of wondering how I got involved in this show myself.
Totally.
Yeah, that's probably fair. 20 minutes.
I told her.
Been doing it for 15 years.
I just want to know, are you going to wear dark colors at the state fair?
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's going to be real hot.
I actually got involved in a really interesting way. I have a friend named Bruce Harris, and he knows the owner of the Talk Shop Lounge, and he got me involved. She asked him if he knew of any Christian artists, and he reached out to me, and I said, yeah, sure.
Nice. Now, do you have like normal gigs anywhere, or is this like kind of an anomaly for you?
I mostly love to just help with worship at our church.
Yep.
I've loved to write. I've written some songs over the years. I stay pretty busy. I have two boys that are 6 and 9 years old that are involved in a lot of different activities. They're actually here in the background hanging out with us. And you guys are so funny and entertaining. My cheeks already hurt. So.
Okay. All right. So like, wait, is it far away? How far is this show from your place?
So I think St. Charles is what, how far from here? 20...
About 30 minutes.
Yeah. 30 minutes. So I come from Leon, so that's down on the Missouri border, about an hour south of Des Moines.
Okay, so this is mileage deduction territory.
There's math.
There's math involved.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm excited. So tell me a little bit about, the tunes that they can expect? Like, what's kind of your, do you have a vibe?
Well, I'm going to do a couple original songs.
Okay.
And also just some worship songs that I feel are pretty familiar to most people. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay. What's do you have like when you write, do you tend to write do you do the tunes first? Do you do the lyrics first? Like, how does that work for you?
Definitely kind of like you. I'm an emotional writer. So, I feel like I go in seasons where there's seasons, if there's a lot going on or if just feel like I'm growing a lot or I'm learning a lot, I tend to write a lot more. And then there's dry seasons where, you know, I kind of just write when I feel inspired. I don't always just sit down and be like, I'm going to write today. Like Dirk over here who wrote his song, he's going to perform on the way here in the car.
So awesome.
Which is so cool. That's just such a great gift to have, you know, music and words that come so naturally like that. That's really awesome. I'm looking forward to hearing it.
It's going
to
be, yeah, it's going to be good. He was tying it up, like, even as the show was, in fact, we had to keep the show from starting.
We did.
Because he was, like, figuring it out.
He was dancing to his own tune.
He was.
It was awkward.
What did you name it? I was stuck in traffic. Is that what you, no.
It's going to be great. Okay, so let's do, what song are you guys going to do tonight?
We're going to do a really familiar worship song. I came straight from baseball, so I wasn't super prepared to play a song for you guys, but Jeff is going to play. We're going to do How Great Is Our God. It's just a really common worship song. We've never played through this. I've never met him before tonight.
I know,
so this is like the ultimate winging it
rehearsal.
Right here.
Welcome
to rehearsal.
This is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm probably going to sing backup vocals. I'm ready.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's going to be fine.
I think you should sing harmony.
Oh.
I don't do that.
Golden bear.
It's I'll not box in the corner.
Yeah, it's a lack of skill problem.
Yeah. I'm not shy. I'm just terrible. Okay, well, sweet. I'm excited. Let's listen. This is Angela Triplett, and we're going to do How Great Is Our God?
The splendor of a king, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice
all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God. In age to age he stands, in time is in his hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the God.
Hey, that was fun, guys. You sounded great.
All right.
Nicely done.
Yeah.
We had a little background vocal help.
Hope you don't mind, we joined in. That was fun.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You kind of saved me. Thank you.
That was good. I love that.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing. So that Angela's going to be at the show at the Talk Shop Lounge, and no tickets. Food is available. Christian Crafts.
Now, what day is that again?
Yeah. So how they're doing that, you guys? As far as there's no tickets for the event, and it's a free family friendly event.
Nice.
So there is a free will donation.
Got it.
If you whoever would like to donate, but it's not required. We want people to come out. Whether you have, you know, a little bit to give or not, that's less important to us than that people are there. That's what we want. That's what we would love for everybody to do.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah. 5/18 is the date, 1 to 4 p.m.
Got it.
Talk Shop Lounge in St. Charles, Iowa.
Fantastic.
Yeah. 3357 St. Charles Road in St. Charles.
That's right.
It's going to be great. Yeah. And is everybody doing an hour? How does it work? We don't know.
Probably.
We're kind of... We'll know more that day. We'll probably
good.
Angela, probably maybe like 20-30 minutes is my guess, something like that. Is that what you were kind of thinking for you?
Yeah.
So okay. I'm gonna have my wife is gonna sing some songs with me, which is great. I get better looking.
Right.
She's around, so I'm really looking forward to that.
Eye of the beholder, I'm with you.
Yeah. And then so we'll probably play for 45 minutes. We're gonna kind of play by ear. We obviously want Jeff and the full band to get their fair share of rock in the afternoon to close it out. So we're gonna be a little flexible, but above all, we're gonna have a good time.
Yeah.
And we're all gonna be there ready to roll, and we're really looking forward to playing the music together.
Yeah,
I think that's going to be exciting. Now, Dirk, it occurs to me that I've been seeing on the socials. You've been, since we last talked. It sounds like you've been getting deeper into being able to perform and support the recovery programs.
Yes.
How's that been going?
It's been going really well. You know, because I was trying to think, because I was on here. Was it October? To promote that event that I did in November. So God works in great ways when we are willing to allow him to open doors, right? And that's exactly what he did at that event in November. Is a couple of the groups that were there was a Sheep Gate Recovery Center out of Colfax. And I'll tell you what, we went to them, my wife and I, since they were so nice enough to come to that event. We went to them and we talked to Mike Foreman and we said, how can we help you guys? And we thought maybe they'd say a fundraising event or something similar. And they said, honestly, what we would love is some in-person worship. Mm-hmm. The guys are required to go to church on Sundays, but they have this beautiful facility in Colfax. I mean, it's been, the history of the place is amazing. It was some healing springs, you know, at one point in time, and then the nuns were there, the monks were there, all kinds of different things over the years. And Sheepgate, which is also
Teen Challenge.
Yep. They switched the name a couple years ago because it's really not a teens, it's more adults. And so we went in there, and these guys were on fire. You know, when you're in a room full of people that don't have a cell phone, we don't know that. We don't experience that in life anymore. When you get around 40 guys that were nice enough, so overly nice, like they carried all our gear in. They had to set it up if I'd let them. And they had this wonderful meal that they had us with. Well, that's my thing. Is I get real particular about how every single cord goes in a case. So they're all waiting for me like, hang on. But no, they had a meal for us. And they were so nice to my wife. And they absolutely were on fire. You know, it was just an unreal experience. So we got to lead. We led there three times, and then and just have absolutely loved it. You know, and it changed my perspective on playing music. I left there playing the first time. I was telling this to Jeff. You know, as a musician, you're trying to find your audience, right? Yep. Mm-hmm. Whether that is leading at church, whether that's leading at a bar or restaurant, whether it's, you know, just going on tour to Nashville or playing at different areas, and you're trying to find where you fit in, right?
Yep.
And I left playing that first time, and it was like they were all on fire, and I got done playing, and it was like this is a different perspective that I love doing it. So we just last night, actually, my wife and I partnered with Hope Ministries.
Nice.
And they have a Hope Center that they just built. It's a brand new facility that they just built, actually just right over by Life Change Church, our church that we attend. And the gal that runs the place just started going to our church. And it just worked out that when we were talking about going there, finalizing the last tour before we scheduled it, one of our pastors said, well, Elizabeth that runs the Hope Center is right there. She's just going to become a member of our church. So she came up and sang some songs with us. And two of the gals from there just got baptized at our church on Easter Sunday. And it's like, it's just amazing.
Yeah. So
and we've got some more stuff like that coming up. But yeah, it's been a wonderful to connect to the right people.
That's, you know, very
and
cool.
I've really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty cool to be able to see how, like, your skills, talents, and desires, like, God finds a place for them to get them plugged in and to be in service to his kingdom and to his people and to people who want to be his people.
Yeah.
So that's super awesome to see him kind of tie all that stuff together. That's pretty cool. Mike, we were talking before the show. Weren't you trying to remember? I can't remember. You're doing some, like, Bible reading or remembering. Like, weren't you trying to remember something? Was it some verses?
I don't know. This feels weird, because even if that was true, I wouldn't remember it, and so I'm not 100% sure how to respond to that.
It was
Ephesians, right?
Was it?
Hey, you know what I always wanted to learn?
No, yeah. What was
Ephesians 3:17-19?
Oh yeah. Well, I'm the man. Ephesians 3:17-19 says, so that Christ may dwell for your heart through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints, and to know what is the breadth, the length, the height, and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, and so that you may be filled with the fullness of God.
My man!
Yeah! Yeah!
Wow!
Nice! Woo!
I wasn't even close.
Yeah. Yeah.
You couldn't even remember the book.
I was confused completely.
There's 66 of them. I can't remember the one.
I heard him practicing earlier, and he's like, "Dear Ephesians," and that's as far as he got. And I'm like, "I don't think you understand how these letters work."
Why is Paul always in trouble?
Dear Ephesus.
whole city. I'm not happy with your barbecue selection. You feel like Paul had favorite restaurants, right? Where he's like,
do you think, like, he did like a, what we don't have are his writings, like Michelin guide style, where he was like, you really got to stay away from this fish joint.
Like, he's left some stuff out. He's like, I really want to get back to Ephesus. for the meatballs.
You could have the best pasta in Greece. It's surprising.
And the spirit kept me from Mysia because last time it upset my stomach.
We had to figure out what to do with all these statues, so we used them for stone cookery. Oh, man.
I'm telling you, I'm a Roman citizen, and that's no pasta alla Romana.
They broke the spaghetti. All right.
Boy, that was fun after a cool thing we just did. Sorry we ruined it, everybody. Yeah.
I should just put that at the end of every show. Sorry we ruined it, everybody.
That'll be our badeep, badeep, badeep. That's all, folks.
Okay, so second Samuel 22.
All right, listen, fellas, you got to, and ladies, you got to just jump in if you got something to add to this conversation.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
It won't stop naturally, so you just got to jump in.
That's true.
Who's the other lady in here?
That's pretty
ladies,
much
ladies, that was like plural.
Yeah, sometimes he was, you know what I'm saying?
We were both about to make the exact same joke at each other. Is that fun?
It's Mike. Well, that's Booba.
I thought she was talking about Arendelle and that cover outfit we were talking about.
Yeah. No. Calm down, Slim.
Okay.
I can wear light colors.
It's my new nickname.
Hey, not before Easter.
No, not before, yeah. Right.
You're safe. All right. Labor Day. I don't know the things. 2 Samuel 22. So reading through the life of David, and you're like, okay, yeah. Okay, great. And obviously you're getting these very clear comparisons between David and Saul. One listens to Yahweh, one does not. And so you get into 2 Samuel 22, and you made your way through the life of David and his son kind of rebelling and trying to take over the throne from him. And he's like, he's gone through all the things.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. And then you get, I'm not going to read it. We're going to have to skip a few spots because it's super long. But in 2 Samuel 22, which has a connection, David also writes about this in Psalm 18. It says, okay. And David spoke to Yahweh the words of this song on the day when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. So this is where this is coming from.
Sure.
Okay. And he says, Yahweh is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior, you save me from violence. I call upon Yahweh who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. For the waves of death encompassed me, the torrents of destruction assailed me, the cords of Sheol entangled me, the snares of death confronted me. In my distress I called upon Yahweh, to my God I called, from his temple he heard my voice, and my cry came to his ears. Okay, so far.
We can get on board with this.
Yeah, right.
It's all the greatness
exalting
of Yahweh.
Yahweh. Yeah,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Actually, we did talk about this one a little bit last week, because the following, which says, then the earth reeled and rocked, the foundations of the heavens trembled and quaked because he was angry, smoke went up from his nostrils, and devouring fire from his mouth, glowing coals flamed forth from him. He bowed the heavens and came down. Thick darkness was under his feet. He rode on a cherub and flew. And so we were talking about the veracity of scripture, and like, things can be true without having to be literally true.
Right.
He did not see fire come from Yahweh's nostrils. He's telling you a true thing about God. He's just doing it in poetry and in that kind of language. Okay, so anyway, I'm like, okay, got it. God protected him, rescued him. This is all great. And you make your way down, and then it said, verse 20, he brought me out into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. Yahweh dealt with me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanliness of my hands, he rewarded me. For I have kept the ways of Yahweh and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his rules were before me, and from his statutes I did not turn aside. I was blameless before him, and I kept myself from guilt. And the Yahweh has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in his sight. With the merciful you show yourself merciful, with the blameless man you show yourself blameless, with the purified you deal purely, and with the crooked you make yourself seem torturous. For you are my lamp, and he continues. But anyway, this is the part, okay? This is the part where you're like, why is he saying these things? Why is he saying, I have walked blameless before my God, when you can look back at David's life and you're like, he was deceitful. He sent a man to death so that he could take his wife. And you're like, I don't understand.
Yeah.
How has he come to this particular conclusion?
So
did you have a thought? Okay. Well, you got to give him the microphone.
Are we talking about David or Goliath?
We're talking about David.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're talking about David.
Good question.
Yeah.
David.
Solid. So, okay, go ahead, Mike.
Okay, so my question is like, I know why this is hard to take in on its face.
Yeah.
But if a man were to say this in the New Testament, I would say, well, this makes sense, right? Because Christ, right? Because Jesus says you are blameless because of me.
Yeah.
All your sins have been washed away. Like, I can look back on your whole life and go clean, right? But like, this was before that period of time. And David appeared, like, the way it reads off the page is, David is like, yeah, I nailed this thing.
Yeah.
God was good to me because I was good at representing him.
Yes. Yeah, he didn't just say, I'm good, like, I'm in good shape because God has rescued me. That was the first half, right? But he very clearly says, because of my actions.
Yeah.
Like, because of the things that I did,
right.
I walked cleanly.
I walked blamelessly. Yeah,
yes,
right.
Blamelessly.
Yeah.
Okay. So, this is difficult. This is difficult to take in. And like I said, multiple Psalms also reinforce this mm-hmm. perspective. And so, I'm reading through, and I'm kind of praying, and I'm like, how am I supposed to understand this? Because here's, at its worst, you could read this. Let's say you didn't, if you were not particularly excited about following Yahweh, you could look at this and go, look, man, with the facts on the ground, either the Bible's not true or this man is seriously deceived.
Right. Yeah.
Right. And like, and how did we get it that it's scripture? We're supposed to go like, this thing is firm, reliable, hand of God. And this is obviously not right.
Yeah. Either that or Yahweh is a purveyor of terrible activities.
Mm.
Right. Like God affirms all the things that David did.
Yeah.
And said, yes, this is the kind of man I want.
Yes. So these are the risks, right? From this. So the question is like, how can I understand what I believe to be true about scripture and then run into this mess and go, oh yeah, makes a lot of sense.
It's also interesting because like you get the David's the man after God's own heart description, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's that has always been something that seemed super contentious to me of yep. like,
which made a ton of sense when you were like 10, when they
right,
only
exactly.
told you the stories about David yep. that were like, he's such a great warrior.
Yeah, right, exactly. David and Goliath, you hear that story, you go, heck yeah, man. Like, how dare the armies of Israel allow a Philistine to come in here and besmirch the name of our Lord?
Yep.
I refuse for this to be a situation. I will go out,
yeah.
and I will be the one if no one else does. And if that's the only conversation we have about David, we go, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Man after God's own heart, this makes sense.
Yep.
But then, oops, the rest of David's story, like...
harder to take in.
It feels like there's one common thread that you can really follow that maybe gets at this.
Yep.
With me, and I don't know if you're going to talk about it, but like it's
you tell me what you think it is.
Well, and so it's his treating of Saul. Like it's the way that he seemingly correctly takes in the concept of Saul's anointing by God and his kingship that has been given as like, this is God's anointed king, so I won't kill him. I
yep.
may take a piece from his garment. I may do this thing to show him like, hey, you know, you keep trying to kill me and doing all these things. I could have taken your life many times. Remember that, but I'm not going to.
Yeah.
And then also people come to him and go, why don't we just kill him right now? And he goes, no, we're not going to kill Saul. That's God's anointed king.
Yep.
I refuse to do that against God's anointed king. Even if I have been promised that someday I will be his king, I haven't been anointed amongst the people yet, and so I'm not going to make actions.
Yep.
That seems to be one of the only, like, I don't know, like, wrath-staying things that you really think of in the story of David that maybe... that's the concept here, but I'm not
solid. Is it because his view of Yahweh is like, God put him in, God's gonna have to take him out. If God appointed me,
sure,
God will
yeah.
put me in, right? Like it's the view of God as king. Like, and his treatment of Saul is that way, right? Like he treats Saul
yeah.
that way because he goes, God makes the decisions here. If God put a man in, mm-hmm. God's going to have to take a man out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like in major movements of his life, he's known as one who is faithful to God, knowing that God is faithful to his promises.
There you
and
go.
Like, that's great. But then I don't know how you get a David that goes, I've walked blamelessly. Ask Bathsheba and Uriah, friend.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Or Ahimelech's whole family.
Yes, right, exactly. Right.
Like, oh, yeah, the Ahimelech deal. I think
we're being made fun of for reading our Bibles, Ben.
All the priests got killed. Remember, he got the bread and the Goliath sword from Ahimelech.
Oh, yeah.
And then
Saul killed all of them.
Oh, well,
yeah.
Technically, it was Doeg the Edomite, but whatever. He got him.
Yeah, no, I understand Doeg. I'm
okay. So I think you're right. You're just pitching too low.
Okay.
It's not just his relationship and how he reacts to Saul. It's the thing that undergirds that, which is at his core, he never turns from Yahweh. The measurement,
uh-huh.
the yep. measurement of 2 Samuel and of David's own representation, and even as we look at like how the prophets represent David, what they're looking for is going. We regardless of how fallibly humans followed. In the things that God told him to do,
uh-huh.
he walked with Yahweh. He
okay.
he never
yep.
he didn't chase other gods. That
no.
is the sole criteria. of which he's assessing his life. And so, and this is where you see, like, he reacts differently than Saul does. Like, when a prophet confronts Saul, Saul rejects it. When a prophet confronts David, he repents.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Nathaniel brings something to him, and he's like, ah, I got to change. Or
yes.
Nathan.
Yes. It's Nathan.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but that's the thing. So what makes it so interesting then is that, like, the description of David goes, like, even in my fallible following of Yahweh, I am yet blameless. I never sought anything else. I sought Yahweh and Yahweh alone in my human fallibilities.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, the reason that is so interesting and so powerful is doggone it if that isn't my life. Where, like, I could easily take the same scrutiny that I'm putting on David's description of himself would show up if I made the same description of my own life. But here's what I know is that, like, through the tides and the scorching sun and the waves that I have created even in my own existence, I have never clung to anything else but Yahweh. And, like, that, in that, David is blameless. And that is the assessment of what Scripture is looking at, is that, like, it's not the expectation that David was a perfect character, was a perfect human being. Like, that's what how I'm assessing what he's talking about. But he took that off the table already. It's like, of course not. But I blamelessly, I clung to Yahweh, even in those human frailties. And doggone if that, I don't find that super encouraging.
I suppose that's interesting, because if you take that and continue it on into the story of 1 and 2 Kings, right? Like, that is the major thing. Like, that is the major theme of this king followed Yahweh.
That's right.
Or this king, I mean, Solomon, does it for a second, and then immediately is like, well, on that hill, I'm going to go ahead and build some stuff for some other idols, or some other gods, and allow the prophetesses and my wives and stuff like that to do that stuff. And then you get out of, what, the 40 kings that are talked about within the southern and northern kingdoms in 1 and 2 Kings, you get, like, five, maybe six that are doing halfway okay. And, like, everybody else is like, oh, but they didn't destroy the Asherah poles, and they didn't take down the high places, and they were worshiping other gods or creating other idols and all that stuff.
Yeah, and think about that. Like, that was the big prescription on, this is why you can't be, like, bringing foreign princesses in here. It's not that God's worried about, like, the purity of the relationships within his people. He's worried that you're going to bring in people who are going to influence you towards other gods.
And they absolutely do.
And it's exactly what happened
over and
to
over
Solomon.
Again.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so I have a question. How, like, do you feel like this is prescriptive of how people should view their relationship with God as whole? Because here's the thing. Like, modern-day Christianity really struggles with giant waves of feeling close, not feeling close. Yeah. I screwed up. I'm really apart from God. Right? Like, instead of looking at ourselves as a broken humanity, right? But, like, we'll go... Like, we feel so bad and so apart from God today, and then an experience will change that. And then we're in for, like, 3-4 days or a week or 2 weeks, and then you're like, oh, I'm so far apart from God again. Right? I've screwed up so much. You know, and it seems like there's a lot more churn, a lot more thrash, right, with a modern view of how God views humanity.
Yeah, yeah. Think of the confidence David has to make the statements he's making in the events that he does. Where, like, I mean, I think we're saying this from, like, even a ministry perspective. Like, how many, especially fellas, I feel like really struggle with this. Where, like, in the presence of any sin in their lives feels like the flick football.
Yeah.
Like, you just got totally shot out of the picture.
Yep.
And then you come trudging in with your head down. And then you made a bad decision and then flick football again. It's not that those things aren't wrong and that you've not, like, causing yourself difficulties in life. But the thing is that, like, David can still look for all, I mean, he's got some major football flicking going on in that man's life, and he's still like, but I never left Yahweh. Yeah. I never even thought about it.
So this is the thing. It's like this I feel like a lot of our modern generation gets robbed of the confidence of God moving, of God doing, of God redeeming, or speaking with confidence to the things and the character and the mighty right hand of God, because, like, you feel confident saying that if you happen to be on track to your Bible reading this week, right? Or, like, you showed up to your community group, or you got to pray with somebody, and, like, you're like, I'm confident. But as soon as you have a fallibility in your life, you're like, I'm unqualified to speak to the greatness of God. And the truth is, like, the greatness of God didn't move at all. You're always qualified to speak on that, because that part's always true. Whether you're nailing it or not, roll of the dice, you know, we're being purified, what I'm saying? Sanctified throughout our lifetime. But I think what happens a lot with, especially dudes, I think this is definitely true, is, like, they will find a failure or they'll view themselves as a failure, and then they completely pull back from ever having the mighty word come out of their mouth because they're just not feeling it this week. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're categorized by shame cycles, right? Like, it's over and over again. That concept of that roller coaster is, it seems to be an incorrect, like, long vision look at yourself, because, like, you get stuck in, oh, I sinned today, and therefore I'm going to hate myself enough that I'm not going to be in my Bible, I'm not going to pray because I'm so full of shame, and, like, I can't accept the mercy and the gift of the cross today because
yeah,
of
not
I
today.
Like,
I'll have to wait, like, till it's new tomorrow morning.
We are bi-weekly prodigals. It's like, it's insane.
Yes, that is,
like,
correct.
Every 3 to 4 days, we're running off into the distance and spending our inheritance, and then coming back with the pigs. And it's like, that's insanity that we're looking at that and going, nah, this wasn't meant to be like a thing we do all the time. Like,
so that's the thing, this is where I think the difference is, like, we view it as a prodigals every 4 days.
Yeah, right.
And instead, we just went to the edge of the property and then kind of and used a low-level swear.
Yeah.
And then we're like, we'll never get back in.
We dipped a toe in the mud and went, oh no, my clothes are unclean again.
That's what,
like,
I'm
don't
saying.
Don't get me wrong. Any spot of sinfulness is absolute, like, uncleanliness. Like, that's true. But, like, the concept of, like, we very often will use the gavel against ourselves in like the court of law and judge ourselves broken and lost and shameful and guilty, but rarely ever are we looking at, like, the power of the mercy and the majesty of what was given to us on the cross and the crucifixion of Jesus. And, like, if I am to be, like, Paul looks at it straight up, like, yeah, that's my flesh, but I'm spirit. Like, I'm spirit, and this is how I move. Like, he was openly saying, my flesh may fail, I may make these mistakes, but what I don't let it do is that now is exactly how I'm going to categorize who I am forever.
Yeah.
Like, he moves forward. He goes, no, I don't live that way anymore. That's not who I am anymore. That part of me needs to die every day, being crucified with Jesus on the cross, and then move forward in it without shame. Guilt can be there because it's an understanding of a problem that's happened in your life. Yeah. It can exist there to go, there is sinfulness, and I have to reckon with that reality. But what I'm not going to let it do is put on a new name tag for me. That's not what's happening. Like, I need to move forward because there's work to do and there's time to be with the Father that you need to be doing, rather than shamefully running away from him again and again.
Right, and
again.
Sleeping in the back 40, acting like Dad locked the door. Yeah, he didn't lock the door. His house didn't even move. The lights are still on. You're still on the property, friend. Like, this, I think that's the thing. Is, like, I think we blow it up. Like, we have a tendency to blow it up too much. And I think the broad point is, like, Boo's right. There's a lot of work to do. And we're disqualifying ourselves from doing it based on our own judgment of the situation when like, God's standing at the door going, what are you doing? What are you doing? Yep. The door is still open.
Right.
Yeah, you're a sinful, fallen man. I know. I sent a son for this. Come back in and speak confidently of where my house is and where my door is and the kind of character I have, and that all are welcome. And, like, it can come from you. Maybe that's the big confidence. It can come from you. Doesn't matter if you're on the back 40 or you're standing on the porch. It can come from you.
Yeah. And I feel like practically the things that lead me back to sin is shame. Like, if I feel like I'm going for a period of time and, like, I've been close to my Father and I've been doing the things that I need to be doing and things like that, the things that'll get me back into the muck and the mire is feeling terrible about myself or being shameful or hating who I've been and the things that I've done. But, like, if I rightly look at the situation and go, yeah, that was a falter. That is a real thing. Guilt did happen and I needed to be called out by the Spirit in my life to go, hey, that was sinfulness. Can't do that. Like, be better. Like, get up again and walk with me. The things that'll make me go for 3 months without running back to my Father is shame. The things that will get me back up and it'll go a longer time between periods of sinfulness is when I legitimately feel like I'm not living in shame. I'm living in the victory that is in Christ Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, I think that's all helpful. That I found this is the type of reading this part of David's life, either goes, look, this thing isn't going to be trusted at all, or I frankly think I can understand my situation.
Yeah.
Differently, and I think healthier, because obviously, like, the Lord has codified the scriptures here, and he goes, yep, Psalm, like, 2 Samuel 22 stays,
solid.
Psalm 18 stays, and I'm like, okay, so maybe it's, and we're not trying to, like, again, this is not a justification of whatever fallibilities you got in your life, that it's perfectly cool, it's not, but, like, try not to, like, tip over or re-render your entire existence.
Sure.
David doesn't have any problem in confidence saying, look, I followed Yahweh, even though he's got some pretty rough football flicking. Mike, we got a time for a couple, for a Dear Life from the Path.
Well, you got, oh, yeah.
Let's do one, and then Dirk's going to carry us out of here.
Okay, got it. There we go.
He's going to grunt until he pulls up.
Now, this is the time, though. So I know it's hard to get a word in edgewise on this last conversation. But this is an advice column. Okay, so we're gonna. People are asking for advice from us, which is a mistake, and so you guys can help.
Yeah, do we better. Need you guys to make us be better.
Yes. Okay.
All right. Ready?
Yeah. Let's have it.
Dear Live from the Path. Ever since I was a child, my mom has regarded me as wise, thoughtful, and intelligent. She has confided about family issues, tensions at church, and cheating at her workplace. Live from the Path. I don't want to be your confidant. Am I doomed to always hear her never-ending problems? She creates them by herself by jumping to conclusions and suspecting everyone has ill intentions. While I understand this is to protect herself, it's exhausting to listen to and to advise when I know nothing will change. The worst part is that I can't confide in her. She doesn't understand my perspective. I don't think she even tries. Our relationship is very one-sided. Sometimes I feel like I'm her mom. She talks to no one else like this and refuses to go to therapy. I'm a senior in high school and I plan to go to college. I don't want to leave her like this. How can I help her?
Sweet Moses. Okay, so...
You want a synopsis?
Yeah, I was going to say, it sounds like a senior in high school is dealing with a mom that's... Yeah.
Okay. She basically... it didn't say whether she's a single mom or not, but like, here's what it sounds like. It sounds like the mom is using her teenage daughter as her best friend.
Okay.
And so basically you're getting all of the situations that an adult woman would go through, what she perceives, the shortcomings, all the things, and you're like, "Hey, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? How do you feel like this is going?" And her daughter's like, I don't want to be this. Right. Especially now the daughter feels like she brings stuff up, you know, like, "Hey mom, I'm having the trouble with Tara at school." And she's like, "Yeah, I have trouble with people at church like this." You know, and then like just skips over the whole thing, right? So it's a really one-sided best friend relationship, except it's a relationship between a mom and a daughter.
Yeah.
Basically, her concern is, I don't want to leave my mom like this when I go to college.
That's unfortunate that like the daughter's being asked to hold that line. Like she's the one who's got to be... worried about mom when she goes off to college. Like, and that's a hard place for a kid to be, like, to have to be thinking about that kind of thing. And like, it sounds like it's just telling of the entire relationship they have of like, I think it's super cool that like mom is in kiddo's life. Like, I love that. And I think it's cool that they have a connection, but like, I seeing it from the perspective of like having to be the best friend to your mom. Like, that's why I had a little bit of that by the time that, like, I was 18, 19 with mom. Like, it really felt like we were friends and I didn't really have, like, a parent.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying not to be dramatic here, but it really felt like I lost a bit of like, the kid days.
Yeah.
Like, I lost a bit of the joys and the pleasures of being a kiddo because I had to grow up and be a friend and confidant and like support to someone that was supposed to support me.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not mad at my mom and I'm not, you know, condemning her for that kind of thing. She had the stuff that she dealt with. It just like, it was just a weird kind of twang to the relationship, I guess. That was like, I knew better. 'Cause like my friends, I all saw them and they didn't have to be the bestie and like the friend and the support system for a parent. And I'm like, I wish that I could just be a kid.
Yeah.
And so I can imagine that this young lady is feeling that same way of wishing that she had the ability to be a kid and maybe not even wishing it because it doesn't sound like she's been able to be that for a while.
Mm.
But I'm always cautious of the, hey, they're way more mature for their age than people realize. I'm like, I don't know about that. I think you've just asked them to step up to a level that they should have never had to.
Mm.
So.
Yep. I don't know, Dirk, does any of this hit you?
I'm trying to figure out the angle that I would go.
Sure.
First off, I got to take this off if I'm going to talk. It is a tough one because obviously there's a little bit of role reversal going on there, and I think that it might be time for the young lady to go her own path and not maybe feel like she has to carry so much of that. And maybe it might be a good thing for her mother to find her own feet a little bit.
Yeah,
and
totally.
To not be so, you know, relying on her daughter to be the support system, so to speak.
Yeah, and like, I can understand the daughter that's like, I don't want to leave my mom in this. You might have to.
Yeah.
Like, it stinks that you have to even think that way about your mom in this space, but like, believe it or not, it may be a blessing in disguise. I hate to use that phrase, but like that she then doesn't have this bestie that's in her life. That's her 17-year-old daughter, or potentially 18-year-old daughter. And I mean, I don't know. Like, I just, I what I would caution you at is I don't want you to leave for college and feel guilty every day of your life because of what you've taken from your mom. I also don't want you to make drastic decisions about not forwarding your life in an effort to protect your mom. That's an unfair thing to ask.
I think one of the hardest things as she becomes an adult, and this is true with all adults, is trying to figure out which weight belongs on you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just true in adulthood anyway. Like, you, stuff that you're responsible for, people you're responsible for, people that you love, people that you want to try to maintain a good relationship. And, like, it, people will do this sometimes manipulatively, and sometimes they'll do it, like, without actually knowing. But they start putting weight on you and responsibilities, and then it is up to you to play goalie, uh-huh. right, to decide what belongs and what doesn't. So, like, at the end of the day, like, some solid truths have to come into light, which is one. Like, that relationship is not what it's supposed to be. And let's say that it's even, let's say that is what it's supposed to be, and you just don't like it. Well, that, all mm-hmm. these things are good enough reasons for you to go, this needs to change, right? And what's true is change usually happens when someone has to hurt. Like, the pain's got to be felt somewhere. They do that with, we talk about this all the time when you're trying to make a business move or you're trying to make a personnel move or whatever. You're like, look, if we're short-staffed, stop working double time to make it look like we ain't short-staffed. Yeah. Right? Someone's got to hurt. It's the pain's got to get felt somewhere. And so what you're going to feel like is you're responsible for the pain. Mm-hmm. And like the thing that we're going to caution you not to do is try is like, if just because someone else is looking at this thing incorrectly doesn't mean you join them. Right. It means you have to help them see it correctly. And like, I would make sure that you're seeing it correctly. Like, obviously, if we're getting one side of the story, get yourself an accountability somebody. I'd find someone at a church or a good best friend to talk it through and make sure you're looking at it correctly, because you might have inserted yourself as the best friend and now regret it. And so, like, you're going to have to say, Mama, I done this. I put myself, I shouldn't have been here. And now it's time that we got to tear this up. But like, if you own part of this, you need to own it. But like, overall, the right perspective gets to win regardless of how we got here. It's never too late to say, all right, let's start backing this back out.
Okay. Secular?
Secular says, the best chance you have of helping your emotionally dependent mother would be to start by helping yourself. Begin making plans about where you will go to college, creating plenty of physical space between you and mom. The next time she starts confiding, which from what you have written seems more like gossiping, tell her you don't have time to listen and that she should discuss it with a contemporary who has more life experience than you. It's the truth. Okay, that's not the truth.
Super awkward.
Like, I don't have time. That's not the truth.
Say to your mother, perhaps you should find a contemporary. Dearest mother,
this is terrible.
Perhaps you could find a contemporary to confide in these issues you're having.
She won't like hearing it.
Love your daughter.
And may try to make you feel guilty, but don't fall for it. Keep repeating to your mother that her problems are more than you can handle and that talking to you about them hasn't helped her. Which is why you want her to talk with a licensed mental health professional.
Okay.
We went from contemporary to therapist.
Wow.
Okay.
That, my girl, would be the best way to help your mom.
Now, listen here. Like, I'm gonna give the mom the benefit of the doubt. She's not trying to be this agreed. Way. And, like, in some ways, it's going to feel like I have a really good relationship with my kid.
Right.
Right? And so, like, and it's difficult, especially, like, let's take it your oldest kid. I always think about my poor oldest kid. And I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I don't know whether I have this right or not. Like, I'm just, like, she's new at being 18, and I'm new at parenting an 18-year-old.
The whole kid's, like, is an experiment, whole life.
Right.
And so, like, she's probably not doing this on purpose. So, like, you don't have to lay it on thick and try to guilt her into things. She didn't end up in this place. And frankly, she probably loves having your time and attention and being able to, like, have someone that she's raised to, like, be able to have conversations with. It's not long term the healthiest, it sounds like, wherever this line is, but like, don't treat her like she's an irritating person in your life. Like, she just, like, love her into the next spot now that you have the benefit of, like, being old enough to recognize something that maybe your mom doesn't, and frankly is going to, like, you could replace her with some sort of, or have her go talk to a contemporary, but, like, it's not going to feel the same as being having a close relationship with your kid. She just got her lines a little bit on the wrong place. And so, but like, be loving about that, for heaven's sake.
I don't have time for this. That's terrible. And that's a lie to start with. You know what I'm saying?
I'm super proud of the 18-year-old, like, for recognizing that this is an issue. Like, because it very easily could have turned into, I mean, this 20 years later, like this kind of thing.
I'm going to skip college and stay home with mom.
And it never changes. Like, for you to recognize that this is a place that, like, a boundary needs to be set, lovingly set, absolutely true, but a boundary nonetheless. Like, that's a super cool thing and a blessing that, like, you are apparently in a place where you've recognized this is an issue. Walk gracefully with it and, like, love your mom. Yeah.
Okay. We're going to leave that there. Hey, maybe you've got some thoughts on all kinds of things. Like you loved the show because the other delightful folks were on.
Maybe your name's Golden Bear.
Yeah, maybe you're curious about the nepotism of the Golden Bear.
Yeah. You have thoughts on that.
Maybe you're Brandon Lake and you're like, maybe I should come on that show. Yeah,
in excess. I don't know why they said that to me. Or maybe we didn't give the right advice. Either way, that's why we've created the Bob Eisenhower Live from the Path complaint line. That's 515-517-0085. Call or text the Live from the Path complaint line, 515-517-0085. And this is the place where you get to call and you can just leave a message if you want to. You can send us a text message if you want to. You can use a meme. I'm really into the photo emojis. I've made a lot of photo emojis of myself that I use as reactions.
Yeah, it's a deplorable.
And anyway... This is the time to let us know how you think the show is going, what we could do to make it better. Now, I think there's some sort of limitation on how many characters. So, you know, like get your top three thoughts and send it on in.
Send multiple texts.
Yeah, well, there you go. Yeah, hit it up multiple times. Anyway, Live from the Path Complaint Line, hit that thing up, 515-517-0085. Call or text. We'd love to hear from you and your thoughts on the program. Now, before you do that, though, like just listen to the end. I want you to listen to the end, though, because like maybe you're like, I don't know. They got to talking about that David thing, and it went off a real tangent. And I don't know about this advice, like a bunch of dudes speaking on this daughter-mom conversation. We're out. So, but let Dirk's going to – it's everything. The world is on Dirk's shoulders here. Yeah. We've saved it to the end so that Dirk can kind of bring it home where we've created a dip in the program. So, but Dirk, I know we alluded to this earlier, but like you were crafting this tune – like, tell me about this tune you're going to sing, because like it feels like you were pulling it together.
This tune, it kind of took on a life of its own. I wasn't actually finishing writing it in the car.
Oh, okay.
I had the only words I had written down are in my scratchings of my journal, of my songwriting journal.
Okay.
And I can't read half of them.
Right.
So I figured if I'm going to go on the path, I should at least write it on a sheet of paper where I could read.
Oh, okay. Words. You're professionalizing.
So you were just being your own personal scribe to things you had put down.
Okay, I was going to do this earlier today, and it happens. Apparently
this is
stupid.
Literally more effort than anyone has put into the show.
We appreciate you.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
You guys feel honored. Made this place better. Thank you, all three of you.
Better handwriting.
Thank you guys. Thank you guys for letting us come on and promote this event, and share some music, and we'd love to have some people make it out, and worship and just have a good time together. That's what it's all about. So
I think it's going to be great. So to remind you, before Dirk carries us out at the end of the program,
tell me
it's at the Talk Shop Lounge in St. Charles, Iowa. We're talking May 18th from 1 to 4 p.m. Jeff Arendelle's going to be there. Dirk and Lisa are going to be there. Angela's going to be there.
Yeah.
It's going to be a great show.
You're going to be there.
You're going to be there.
Question mark.
Are you guys going to be live from the Christian Revival concert? Is that
that's a good idea.
You have a reliable internet connection and a toleration for weird people?
Absolutely.
Actually, the one thing that I remember from when we did the broadcast in St. Charles at that time was like we had drug out like a 500-foot Ethernet cable to try to get, because I mean, we're live streaming all day, and this was 15 years ago.
I was going to say this a long time.
And so, like, the base internet package is not what it is today, okay? And so, but we couldn't find a place. Like, we couldn't
especially
get a reliable.
In St. Charles, Iowa.
Exactly.
We are way cooler than Joe Rogan with what we had to do.
Yeah. We couldn't get a reliable internet connection. And so, some dude who was with the Spirit Midwest people had Verizon. And he just opened up a hotspot, and we ran on his hotspot for like 16 hours.
Wow.
At this music festival.
If we owe you money for that particular hotspot.
Yeah. Right. Literally, they did not have a festival the year after.
hit us up on the Life for the Path complaint line if we owe you money for a hotspot 15 years ago.
Even more so, and this is like looking back on this, I'm flabbergasted that a man was so unaddicted to his phone that he just turned on the hotspot and left his phone with us.
Live life.
and just walked around free without the dings and all the things going on. And he's like, whatever, the Life from the Path boys will take care of it.
We should reconnect with this fella. He seems great.
What a grand gentleman. Okay. All right. So anyway, make sure you hit up that concert and sign up for everybody's on this. Wait, Dirk's on the socials. Angela, are you on the socials? Okay. You can find Angela on the socials too. Just type in your name and you're going to come across it. Okay, Facebook. Angela Triplett on the Facebook.
Yeah.
Every time you talk about anything on the internet, you sound 912.
The webs. What do you mean?
It's on the interwebs. Are you on the socials? Whatever. Anyway.
Did the kids stop saying that?
No. They never said it.
Oh. Okay.
You were both before and after the trend.
What's the not Alpha and Omega? That's me.
In there somewhere.
Okay. Anyway, let's tuck the show up here. Dirk's going to carry us out again. So, all right. This not finishing right at the last minute tune, but clarifying handwriting before the show. Tell me a little about the song.
Yeah. So this song is it's a little prodigal sonny as well. What I've done this last couple songs I've been writing is I've just opened up the Bible and started reading a passage and letting the Spirit kind of go through it. And this is one, I should have written down in my chicken scratching of my journal what Bible passage this kind of came from. But it just kind of came to life, and it came to life pretty quickly. And it's got a different vibe to it. It's a little more Southern rock and roll. Jeff, you'll probably hear a full band. We might do this one together at the Christian Revival concert. Ooh, we haven't talked about a lot before now, so we might as well just say, you're going to be joining me on this song.
Right.
But so that's what it is. And the song's, I think it's going to be called Jesus Teach Me to Love Again. Maybe just To Love Again.
Okay.
But it's kind of the theme of the song. So y'all know that I was am in recovery, and so that's always it's always in the back of my story, a part of it, coming to the realization that to boldly proclaim Jesus, which is one of the things we talked about. I'm in this transition of seeking to do that more, you know.
Yep.
And Jesus says, you know, you don't have because you do not ask, and I'm trying to boldly be okay with doing that. So that's, here we go. Do we have a guitar? I took the headset off myself.
Yep.
So.
Yep. We're good.
Good to go.
Yep.
All right. I sing a little louder than Jeff, so don't be letting it feed back.
I'm ready.
Jesus, teach me to love again. Take my heart, don't let me take it back, even when I don't deserve. I've missed too many days, living hard at night. Opened up my bloodshot eyes, blinded by the light. The truth seems so far away. My God, remember me. Jesus, teach me to love again. Oh, take my heart, don't let me take it back, even when I don't deserve. Jesus, teach me to live again. Show me how to walk, light my path the straightest way to get back to you. Won't you fill me up with your still water? I know your spirit's inside, I can't hear your word. Let the wind stir up my heart. Amaze me with new life again. Teach me to love again. Oh, take my heart, don't let me take it back, even when I don't deserve. testify. Teach me to love again. Take my heart, don't let me take it back, even when I don't deserve. Jesus, teach me to live again. Show me how to walk along my path the straightest way to get back to you.
Awesome. All right. Well, big thanks to everybody for coming in. Thanks, Jeff. Thank you, Angela. Thank you, Dirk. We, boys, it's real great to have you guys in here today. Really appreciate you coming. And we'll look forward to that show on in May.
Yeah.
And I'm not quite sure what's going on next week, whether we'll be here or not, but we'll try our best. But in the meantime, be faithful to the means. God will handle the ends. You've been listening to Live from the Path.